One of my favorite truths from God's Word is the truth of grace, His gift to us that is undeserved and unmerited. And certainly more than thanking God for the food that we eat every day, sometimes that's called grace, is life itself and life forever as a gift of God to anybody who would request that gift. That is such an important truth to me because probably what happened when I was growing up, didn't go to church for about 2 years on a consistent basis, say 100 church services or so, many classes. They weren't called Sunday school in my neck of the woods. They were called catechism classes, and went to about 50 of those. And I remember hearing a lot of good and important things in those experiences. Learned about who Jesus was, His miracles, His teachings. Learned about what to do and what not to do if I was going to follow God. Learned about the Ten Commandments. And really all the things that I learned or heard about looked to me like a big mountain that I had to climb in order to be at peace with God, or to think that I was loved by Him, or that I was going to go to heaven at all. It was a massive mountain that I didn't think I could climb. One day somebody asked me the question in my college years, well, if you were to die, are you sure you would go to heaven? And I said, no, I would go to purgatory. And that was something that I felt like that was my destination. And the bad part about purgatory was I wasn't sure how long I would be there. Purgatory, I was taught, was a place where you paid for unforgiven sins. And they were cleansed from your life. And you didn't know if you were going to be there a couple hours or a couple days, a couple weeks, months, perhaps years. And so I was left with, that is not good news. I better straighten up and do the best I can, because I want to avoid being not close to God in this way. I did not hear at that time about Jesus or the gift of heaven being an unconditional gift given by God. If I was taught that, I apologize to my teachers for not paying attention. But I did hear all the other things. And I didn't hear about Christ and heaven being a gift given to anybody who would ask for Christ and throw ourselves upon His mercy. I remember some fellows from a Baptist church in Meadville coming to my room and asking me about my faith, and I was still quite uncertain. And they shared with me something from 1 John chapter 5. I think it's a gift of grace to people that God would give to have an assurance of heaven. They shared a truth from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Remember, this is to a fellow who figured purgatory or hell was my destination. They shared what God's Word says. I write these things to you. This is what the Apostle John wrote. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And I was totally blown away, you might say, and changed by that truth and that message, because I didn't think that was possible. But the gift of God, life forever with God through faith in Christ. And from that time on, the grace of God, or salvation as a gift, has always been very important to me. Both salvation and the whole Christian walk as a gift from Christ, I think, is the key teaching of Jesus and the key result of His work on the cross. Because of His work, what He did for us, He gives the gift of Himself. And the Apostle Paul, who's probably the best teacher in the New Testament, after Christ rose from the dead, Jesus being the best, Paul, following Christ, was called the Apostle of Grace, the Apostle of God's gift to people. And when he talked about his own life, he said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace helped me to follow God. That was part of his testimony. And I think that's a part of your testimony. If you know God at all, you would say, by God's grace, because He is very gracious and generous to you, you are who you are with Christ. And you think about who Paul was as a religious person, you know. He said when it came to doing religious things or following God's law, you know what he said about himself? He was faultless. Faultless. And yet only Christ and the grace of God could open his life up to heaven and open his life up to following Jesus. So to have a heart set free by the grace of God, something that he'd give us graciously this morning. Chuck Swindoll years ago wrote a book called The Grace Awakening. And in that book, he said he thought believers really needed to rediscover the truth that life with Christ now and forever is a gift. And how do we're to rejoice in that gift. In John's gospel, when John writes about Jesus in chapter 1, it's one of the most Christ-centered passages in all of Scripture. Listen to the phrases that John, the Apostle John, wrote about Jesus. He said this: "He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace, we've received one blessing after the other. The law was given through Moses." How important to know right and wrong and God's holiness. "But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." A life forever would come through Christ alone. And we deal with the Lord in a very open-hearted, personal way when we turn to him and know he is a gift to us. And so I wanted to share with you this morning five Bible verses of grace that have been a help to me recently and for quite a while. And hope they're food for your soul in your walk with God. And you see your life with God as a gift to him. Great Bible teachers, by the way, before I share the verses, have said that life itself has so much grace in it. There's common grace, the gift of warmth, the gift of traveling mercies, the gift of family life, a measure of health, food. Those gifts given to everybody, whether they're atheist, agnostic, turning to God or not, God's gift to people. And then there's special grace, grace given to those who would turn to Christ and say, "I need you, Lord." Grace of the Bible, God's word to people, prayer, special talking to the Lord, the gift of church, salvation, heaven, Jesus, God's best gift to us. Well, these are the five verses that I think are life-changing, among so many others, in terms of the theme of grace. The gift of God, the first verse, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I remember as a young person hearing about Florida, I'm thinking, if I ever went to Florida, I would be very happy. Got to go there and looked forward to that so much when we got there. The wonderful celebration. Heaven offered as a gift. Jesus said, "I'll go to prepare a place for you. For you." And he would come back and take us to be with him. What a gift God would give to any who would say, I need the gift of heaven. I simply won't go to heaven without God making that a gift. That's the truth of God's word. And the experience of that, knowing God now and for forever, I think is meant to be the motivation behind everything we do. We know where we're going as a gift, so we know how to walk as heaven-bound people. And this morning, have you received Christ to know the gift of heaven? Not as a gift, or not as a work, excuse me. Not something you have to attain or climb a mountain to receive. No church itself can have the power to give you the grace of God. Jesus would give you the grace of God this morning. And so to receive him as a Savior, as a Lord, the gift of God, eternal life in Christ. Would your sin hold you back from receiving Christ as a gift? Christ came to forgive your sins. So your sin can't hold you back from receiving Christ. Would your pride hold you back from receiving Christ? Pride says, "I want to run my own life. I can do it. I can even live as a Christian without God's help." How many make that mistake? But our pride won't open us up to heaven. It'll send us to hell, living by our own strength. But God invites us to take the gift of his Son. We know if we take an honest assessment of our own walk with Christ or our own discipleship that we are not setting the world on fire with our spirituality. That would simply be an honest assessment before a holy God. That's why we sing, holiness is what we long for. Faithfulness is what we long for. Lord, take our lives and have it be that way. But instead of what we can offer God, what He offers us through His Son. The gift of God, life forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive the Lord as a gift to you. He is. And He'll change your life from the inside out. What a change just my little heart had when I heard about the grace of God. Jesus offered grace to a dying thief. He said this to the man. Man had nothing to offer Christ. Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And this morning, if anybody would turn to Christ, Jesus would say the same words. "I tell you the truth. You will be with me in paradise. You'll be with me forever." What a blessing. Put your heart trust in Christ and follow Him. A second verse of grace from Scripture is this for those in trial and trouble. "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." God spoke those words to the Apostle Paul when he had a lifelong disability that was not going to be taken away. He would have to live in that rough situation. We don't know quite what it is. Could have been physical, most likely. It was affecting how he viewed God and such. He prayed 3 times that God would change that. "Oh, Lord, take this away. This is a problem for me." And God said, good news to him, My grace is sufficient. Paul, the gift of who I am to you is sufficient to get you through this rough time. And how the Lord would offer that to you this morning. The Lord knows our hearts. Each one of us, if we were to just jot down our major problems, could say, "Lord, these are too big for us." We might be able to write a book about them. But God says His strength, His goodness is sufficient for us. He reaches out a hand to us this morning and helps us just as a gift. "My grace will be sufficient." When there was a man who was paralyzed in the Bible, some of his friends brought the man to Jesus on a stretcher. Friends are good to offer us the grace of God. So they brought the man before Christ who was on a stretcher. The first thing Jesus said to that man was this: "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. That heart put right with God as a gift. And then Jesus helped the man physically. He was able to give a healing to him. And this morning, when people pray, for example, after the service sometimes for physical help, I always pray, as others do, that God would help their body and heal them. But more than that, whether that occurs or God gives them His presence, Jesus does promise this to everyone. "My grace is sufficient for you." And you think of the trial you have, and God saying that to you this morning. The gift of Himself will help you through this, and it'll bring honor to Himself. Would you take encouragement from that? I like an old song that says this: "All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread." Jesus is bigger than the trouble you have. His grace is sufficient. The third Bible verse of grace is in Romans chapter 15, which says this: "Accept one another as Christ has accepted you." And this means that the grace of God affects all our relationships. We are to treat people with the same graciousness as the Lord has treated us. Wow. What welcome, what positive outreach the Lord does give. Often we treat people with conditional love, or often we are very suspicious of people because of being let down in the past, perhaps by ourselves or maybe because of other people. And so we have a hardened shell sometimes in terms of how we can know people and let them know us. Oswald Chambers made this comment about trusting God so that your relationships can be free and open and clean, like His is with us. Listen to these words. He says, "Jesus put His ultimate trust in no person. But Jesus was never suspicious, never bitter, never in despair about those around Him. He says, if we as Christians only trust in people, we will become downcast. We will be disappointed and perhaps become hardened and bitter because we expect people to be right and faithful for us all the time. And they cannot be that way. We have a hard time accepting that. Perhaps we can't accept the fact that we are not like that. But if we put our trust in the grace of God as a gift, more than ourselves or anyone else, God helps us love as Jesus loved. And for your life and my life, isn't it great if you saw your relationships in the home, at work, at church, as relationships that express the grace of God? His welcome, His acceptance. One pastor, we meet with these pastors occasionally, twice a month or so. He was saying when he's at home, he gets to love 4 or 5 in his family unconditionally. He likes to do that. And then he says when he comes to church, he gets to love 300 or 400 people. He has a big church, unconditionally. And he said, "Oh, how could I do that?" But he was open to the grace of God affecting all the relationships that he has. Wouldn't you like that with those closest to you and those who God sends your way? Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. That would be a real gift that you could give to other people. And then the fourth verse of grace ties in with our obedience, following God in a practical way, is from Titus. The grace of God teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Two teams playing in the Super Bowl today. I imagine the teams that will play with the most confidence, most fervency, and perhaps go on to win are those ones who know that the coach has confidence in terms of what he has equipped them to do. You know the plan. You know the play. You know I think you can do it. With my help, go for it. That's what God does in terms of grace. He empowers us to follow His way. It's a key to obedience. A New Testament Greek scholar who has a brilliant mind is a fellow named Kenneth Wiest. If you dig into Bible stuff, you come across Kenneth Wiest. He was a Greek translator of the New Testament. He wrote this little poem about what grace can do for a person. Listen to this poem here. "Do this and you will live," the law says. Or the law demands, "Do this and you will live," the law demands. But gives me neither feet nor hands. Well, religion will tell you what to do, won't help you do it. God's law is beautiful and holy, cannot help us do it. A better word, God's grace does bring. It bids me fly and gives me wings. That God's gift can help us follow Him. People who are hungry to obey God, turn to the grace of God. Often we get frustrated. I wish I followed Christ better. I wish that believers were more on fire for Jesus. Give me more rules so I could do this. Oh, you dig a ditch you'll never get yourself out of. But the gift of God will give you wings and let you fly. The most obedient Christians in the world are those who are so by the grace of God, a gift. And He can help you obey God today more than you can on your own. One man said, God loves you the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. It is a gift. And then the last verse of a gift from the Scripture, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You think of all the things you might think of when you think of what faith is all about, or life, or church. Make a list of activities. Make a list of things to do, policies to follow, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes we forget we are dealing with a real person right now in the room, besides one another. Grow with Jesus, His grace and His knowledge, and the gift of Himself among us. He's open to us this morning. There's a illustration of how the Lord accepts us, which I think applies to the Lord's table. So if you have uncertainties in your life, James Dobson, in terms of his family life, says that they'll come out in two places. They'll come out when it's time to say goodnight at the end of the day, and they will also come out around mealtime. You know, who you eat with says a lot about where your heart is towards God and others. And yet, see if this is true for you. If Jesus appeared at your supper table, there he is. He, with the knowledge of everything you are and everything you are not, knowing every skeleton in your closet, every sin, every doubt, every failure, every bad motive, Christ would want to give to you first himself and his acceptance and forgiveness. The safe place with Christ. The grace of God extended to each one of us today. And with all your heart, turn to him. The biggest enemy of grace would be nothing more than our own self-righteousness, which is really no righteousness at all. But the wonderful grace of Jesus, sparkling like a fountain, available to each one of us. Might you continue and I continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ as he meets our every need spiritually as he's able to do. Let's pray and commit this communion time to God. Lord, thank you for yourself. You came as a gift to be received. And so for the first time, Father, maybe some would receive you and say, I need Christ to be Lord, to be Savior. Lord, do for people what we cannot do for ourselves. Shine brightly in hearts because you're Savior and Lord. And then, Lord, the gifts you bring, the forgiveness of sins, your abiding presence, let us take these as grace gifts also. Your sufficiency in troubles and trials, which your grace doesn't protect us from, but walks with us through those. I pray, Father, for folks here, that every heart would be touched by your grace multiple times in this week and throughout their life. And this wonderful truth would continue to set us free. I pray, Father, for folks who have physical needs. Remember Gene Sherman. We remember Margaret Byerly. Your hand would be with them this week in their physical challenges. Be with those who fight to overcome cancer. Lord, as a gift of yourself, be sufficient for them. Give healing as you desire for their hearts. For those who remember loved ones, dear Jesus, and those loved ones, through the grace of Christ, to rejoice in heaven perfectly. Might you be sufficient for them as a friend, Savior, one upon whom they can lean each moment. We think of our world, we think of our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, and ask that you be shelter for them and even good news to bring in the midst of danger and conflict. We remember, Father, folks in Florida who lost loved ones. And might they know the comfort of your Holy Spirit and that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we could be alive forevermore with you, dear Lord. For each one here today, Lord, might this communion time be very special. And hearts open to yourself 100%. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.